This episode of WDW Today is being sponsored by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. And if you're thinking to yourself, man, I would love to get back down to Disney World. There's so many exciting things going on and so many things, new attractions you want to see, so many favorites you want to experience again, and memories you want to make. Well, of course, MEI and Mouse Fan Travel is here to help you plan that perfect trip to Walt Disney World and get you a great rate on it, because after all, it's not just about getting down there, it's getting down there and getting a good deal. And these days, every dollar counts. And the agents at MEI and Mouse Travel are really great at getting you, honestly, a really good rate for your hotel, for the packages, whatever you're looking to get. They're here to make your life easier, and they're a fee-free agency. So Disney pays them, not you. So you got nothing to lose, everything to gain. Check them out right now at mousefantravel.com. We're also being sponsored by All-Star Vacation Homes. And, you know, when we're talking about things to gain, how about a wonderful house to stay at on your next Walt Disney World vacation? I mean, something that's just like, you're going to stay there and you're going to think to yourself, you know, we could go to the parks today, or we could stay in our awesome house here and go chill out by our own private pool, maybe play some tunes on the radio, have a barbecue, and just take it easy and relax. And you know what? It's that kind of an experience that you're going to be there and be like, yeah, I really am considering doing that. I mean, Disney World's fun. We all love it, and it's totally awesome, and you can definitely go there and you know, go crazy. But you also have that option to have a little bit of a relaxation in your vacation. And an All-Star Vacation Home, I'll tell you, is the way to relax. You really need to see their houses. Just go to their website, allstarvacationhomes.com. And we're also being sponsored by touringplans.com. And touringplans.com, you probably have heard about it. It's this wonderful service for just a couple bucks of the year, and it gets you so many great services to make sure that on your next trip to Walt Disney, when you're not waiting in line, that gives you more time at your All-Star Vacation Home, right? See, it's all about, it all comes together in the end. And the good news about Touring Plans is we actually got a discount just for you, our podcast listeners. That's right. If you use discount code ZUZU2015, ZUZU2015, you will save a bundle on your next touringplans.com subscription. Try them. Check them out right now at touringplans.com.
Bringing the world to your world, this is Walt Disney World Today. Here are Mike Scopa, Len Testa, Mike Newell, and your host, Matt Hochberg.
It's Wednesday, February 25th, 2015, and this is episode 1449 of WDW Today. I am Matt Hochberg of StudioCentral.com and RoyalCaribbeanBlog.com. Also joining me on today's show is Mike Scopa, a podcast host, a co-host, if you will, at the Mickey Miles Podcast. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Hey, pal, I ain't no victim.
Great movie ride.
Yeah, two in a row.
That's right. Also joining us on today's show is, oh, by the way, I also quote that all the time. Like, whenever someone asks me, "What is this? What is this? Like, this is alien," but no one ever. You are with Sigourney Weaver in the spaceship Nostromo. One by one, the crew has vanished, and you alone. And then that's the real one.
Not anyway, interested.
Yeah, my wife says enough.
That's what she said.
Oh. Next, we have joining us is Mike Newell of Mouse World Radio. Come on, Mike.
Oh, he's Matt, can you hear me? I'm at Abe Vigoda's birthday party.
Happy 94th years.
Woo! Abe, come on over, say hi.
Hiya, boys.
Mikey, can you get me off?
Len, it's nothing personal, just business. We're going to go way into the night, boys, so I'll see you later.
Oh, the girls are here. I got to go.
Boy, they're old. Oh, wait a minute.
Also joining us on today's show is Len Testa, the co-author of The Unofficial Guide to Walt Disney World, and he's also the host of the Disney Dish with Jim Hill podcast. Welcome to the show, Len.
How's it going, Matt?
Outstanding. And on today's show, we're previewing the month of March in Walt Disney World. It is coming up next week, in fact, and March is a big month. I think a lot of people are going down this time of year because it's spring break season, and people have off from school, and they're looking to get back down to Walt Disney World, and by now probably people are sick of the cold, so they're looking for a good excuse to get down there. And, you know, March is a tricky month. I mean, we're talking about crowds, great weather, but crowds nonetheless. So let's talk about those crowds first, Len. In terms of, how do you kind of describe crowds in the month of March?
It really depends on a couple of things, but foremost, it depends on when Easter falls. And this year, Easter is April 5th, So what you're going to see as the month goes on is larger and larger crowds. In fact, the last week of March and the first few days of April are going to be the most crowded of the month. And it's all based on when schools are out of session. If you look at the 100 largest school systems in the United States, and you adjust by the population of the cities that they represent, it's pretty much a downward slope till that week, till the last week of March, when something like 79% of the schools, almost 80% of the schools, are off. Mm-hmm. So the longer and deeper you go into March, the more people are off on break.
Cool. Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And you know with that break, you know, it's kind of like, I mean, when we talk about spring break, I mean, we're not talking like Christmas by any means. It's not that bad. And I don't think it's as bad as even July 4th, right?
No. So, you know, even with, spring break, being, you know, the week before, Easter, you're still talking 20% or 1/5 of schools are still in session. So it's not going to be like July 4th where everyone's off, or Christmas where everyone's off.
Right.
You know, and not only that, but they're off for an extended period of time. So it's going to be completely different. In fact, this year, one of the things that actually might alleviate some of the crowds is the fact that we've already had such a harsh winter that many school systems are starting to cancel or cut back part of their spring break because of it. So for example, like in our school district, we've already lost one day of spring break the Friday before Easter. That being said, I don't think there's a single group of parents. There's no parent that I know who's already made spring break plans.
Exactly.
Who's saying, okay, well, you know, never mind. We're not going to go to Disney World now because little Hannah has to go to school on that Friday. Little Hannah will take the day off, you know, and miss the day of school and hopefully not have to make up too much work. Because people have already made their plans.
Now, here's the other side of the coin. We're talking about spring break, but there is also something else that you need to be aware of if you're looking at a March trip, and that is Easter, because Easter is is right. So that last week, the week beginning March 28th, mm-hmm. is still leading up to, and traditionally that week can be very crowded as well, right?
It is. It's going to be the most crowded week of the month.
Wow.
Yeah. It'll peak on April 3rd and 4th.
Okay. But if you're going down that beginning of that March 28th,
it's just going to be bad.
Yeah.
I mean, and the week before that is going to be more crowded than the week before that, you know, and so on. So the first week, the first week of March, not terrible. I think, something like 90% of schools are in session, but then it drops down to like 80%, then like 60%. Then, you know, then everybody's off the last week, and then it slowly comes back. But, it's a pretty steep drop. The other interesting thing you'll see there too is, throughout Orlando, every theme park has something to attract the spring break crowd. So you've got the Mardi Gras thing at Universal that runs, I think, through Easter. So it runs like, I think the entire Lenten period. Disney World's got Flower and Garden. Mm-hmm. Flower Garden Food and Wine, because obviously there's more food there this year. But SeaWorld's got a barbecue bands and beers thing going on. And even the Busch Gardens Tampa has something, I believe.
Yeah, so. And that's the thing. When you're going down during a very busy time of the year, the good news is you're going to have a lot of activities. You're going to have a lot of good park hours in terms of the longevity in terms of how long the parks are open. So it's a double-edged sword. I mean, it's good and it's bad.
Yep.
But you just need to be prepared. I think that's really what we're talking about here.
It's true.
All right. Let's talk about the really good reason though. Forget crowds for a second. The really good reason to go in March is the weather, because it's a wonderful time of year to go.
Gosh, it'd be really nice. Yeah. So, temperatures so far have been mid 60s, upper 60s, maybe low 70s. You know, you get the occasional, I think one day next week, it's at the beginning of the month, it's supposed to be in the 81. But other than that, the weather just looks beautiful. I mean, light pants, light jacket in the morning, you know, and then you take the jacket off during the day. It looks just fabulous.
Yeah, it's a wonderful, I mean, it's really just, you know.
Most wonderful time.
The humidity hasn't quite arrived yet, or at least it shouldn't have arrived yet.
No.
And it's warm. It's like you said, Lenny, you can wear shorts. It's really, I mean, there's a reason why, you know, spring training is traditionally during this time of year. And it's something.
Is it called spring training?
That too. But I mean, they picked it for this time. Florida, in March, it's wonderful. So really, from a weather standpoint, it's one of the best months, honestly, to go into Walt Disney World for weather. So you should be aware of that as well. Let's talk about some of the special events. One of them is spring training at Walt Disney World. In fact, there's lots of spring training going on all around. And actually, we should probably defer to one Mike Newell because his family traditionally goes on every single year for this. But the big one, of course, is their spring training at Walt Disney World, the Atlanta Braves at the Wide World of Sports, or whatever they call it now, ESPN Wide World of Sports. They have games that are there that you can book. And it's a really cool experience. Very nice stadium. Mike, I mean, you've been there before. You like that stadium as well, right?
Oh, it's a great place to see a ball game. It's not all that expensive either compared to a traditional Major League Baseball park, you know.
Yeah, especially if you're not interested in seeing the Yankees, Red Sox, or Mets. Those teams bring the crowds. Yes. But if you're interested
The Mets still have a team?
Unfortunately.
But if you're interested in a Pirates game, boy, howdy.
Are you in luck?
Great tickets.
Did the Pirates make the playoffs last year?
They did, yeah. They're not that bad. My Marlins. All right. If you want to see a Marlins game, guaranteed, you'll have no problem getting there. But it's a really cool thing. And also, there's lots of stadiums around. You've got the Tigers in Lakeland. So that's about, what is the scope, about a 15-minute drive maybe from Walt Disney World?
I'd say 15 to 20, yep.
Yep. You've got the Yankees in Tampa. That's about 45 minutes to an hour, depending on how slow you drive. You've got the Mets in Port St. Lucie. That's like 2 hours away.
All day trips. I mean,
I mean, you've got the Nationals in Vero Beach. You've got the Red Sox in Fort Myers. You know, they're all, Mike's right. You can drive to all of them. He's the worst one. It's probably going to be like, I'm trying to think.
Arizona.
Arizona. Yeah, that's a pretty far drive.
Yeah, a little bit.
But it's a cool thing to do if you're around, if you're a baseball fan. It's one of the best ways to see baseball, in fact. And the Astros are in Kissimmee. That's really close. That's really easy game.
Yeah.
That's right. And Disney does a cool thing. Me and one Glenn Sonoda, I'm dropping names again. Last time we went to see the Braves play, they have this thing. It's a all you can eat package. There's a private like VIP tent, and for an extra fee, you can go in there and grab anything you want anytime.
Wow.
That was the old Glenn, though.
That was the old Glenn, yeah. He wouldn't do that now. He'd go for the vegan tent. But we were in there getting burgers and fries and hot dogs and, it was disgusting.
Are you kidding me? How much was that?
I want to say it was a good $30 more or $20 more. It was
But that's like two ballpark hot dogs.
Yeah, that's what I mean. For a major league game, I mean, we had a great time.
A one at Fenway.
Yeah.
That was 2 years ago, so I'm sure it's gone up since, but if they still do it. Mm. But what a great idea that was. I had more fun in the tent than I did at the game.
Oh, yeah.
So let's also talk about the other big event going on in Walt Disney World in the month of March is the Epcot International Flower.
You were going to say the Munch of March, weren't
Munch
you?
Of March.
Munch of March.
That's what they should call Flower and Garden. The Munch of March.
Yeah, because it's sort of like, yeah, you're right. They should call
the
it
mulch, the mulch. Munch and March of March or something
the
like
Ides
that.
Of
they
mulch.
Should call it the International Food Flower and Garden Festival. Now.
Yeah, really.
That's funny. So we've got it starts on March 4th, runs all the way through May. So obviously the rest of the month you're clear on that. And, you know, it's a different event than it was maybe when we first started this podcast. In fact, they've added quite a bit. It's actually become we've joked in the past that it's the, you know, International Flower and Garden and Food and Wine Festival. Because they've added those booths to it. But still, I mean, the real base, there's two basic parts. You have the Flower and Garden in, mostly in Future World, but it does extend to World Showcase as well. But you have displays. You've got the Len's favorite, the butterfly exhibit.
It's where Mangella goes to pull all the wings off the butterflies. Every
We're
year
not
I see
talk about
things.
That, I thought.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. Oh.
I mean, what are the other cool things? There's a lot of seminars, in fact, as well, in the Wonders of Life Pavilion.
The topiaries have been getting better and better every year, and they're going to obviously have a Frozen topiary.
What? I don't believe it.
I know. Who would have thought, you know? But, no, they'll probably have that. I'm guessing it's going to be Anna and Elsa, but I'm also hoping that, you know, there's going to be Olaf in there somewhere, but, you know, that'll be there. And they usually have... Yeah, you know, they have like a showcase topiary as you cross over from Future World to World Showcase. I know that they had a big deal with Monsters University a few years ago, and then they also made a big deal with the Oz. Remember the Wizard of Oz? They had a special thing. I don't know what's planned this year. I don't know if there's any special movies coming up, but I'm sure there'll be something new. But I think that they have gotten better and better the last 2 or 3 years. And again, last year might have been the first year that they kept the kiosks, some of the kiosks from Food and Wine.
Yep.
And we were worried that they would be, it would be too much. It would be another Food and Wine. But I think they balanced it pretty well last year, and they had just enough so that, you know, it was different, but not enough so that it was another Food and Wine festival. So I think they did a very good job with that. And I believe that most of the kiosks on you, Laurel would probably have known this, most of them are vegetarian during Flower and Garden, I believe.
Kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a neat thing to do, especially if you've never done it before. I recommend. I mean, it's not my favorite annual event that Walt Disney World does, but it's cool. It definitely changes Epcot. It makes it's nice to be able to, you know, walk by and enjoy
really
something
bright,
different. Yeah.
Colorful.
Yeah. Yeah. All the colors are pretty.
Yeah. Okay. So are there any other special events in the
St. Patrick's Day? So Raglan Road obviously will be the center of last year Raglan Road took over.
Yeah.
The area all the way around. So, yep. So remember, if you're looking at Raglan Road, if you're at the door, around the corner to the right and going all the way down to Fulton's last year, they had these, Irish bands playing and they pretty much took over that entire section, on St. Patrick's Day, and it extends out, you know, into the front and everything. So tons of stuff will be going on there.
Yeah. And that's a cool thing to check out for yourself. It's the place to go, in fact, and it's definitely very festive.
Yeah. Get there at noon and stay all night. Yeah.
I like it. Other special events in the month of March. There's the Ides of March, in which case you should look out for any colleagues.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, keep watch your back.
Exactly.
We talked about the weather. We talked about the events. All right, what's closed during the month of March?
Everything. No, that's Disneyland. Yeah. Sorry.
Ooh. Got somewhere guys still goes crying.
Let's see. A couple of things are, let me see. A couple of things were closed that are opening. And let me see. The first thing that I remember is, let me see. Cinderella's Royal, nope, that's okay.
Well, Blizzard Beach is actually closed through the middle of the month.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's surprising. Oh, they're doing that one, they do this in the winter officially where, you know, one water park is closed, the other one is open. But again, we talked about the nice weather they'd be having, so it's, don't rule it out as a possibility though.
Right,
and,
right.
Yeah. I think you will not be able to get a haircut in the Magic Kingdom. Through the month of March, they're closing that. Harmony Barbershop.
Yep. The Cinderella's Royal Table will be closed through March 6th.
Yeah, then that's going to be an interesting reopening. I might try and grab a reservation in there just to see what the refurb looks like.
No. It's been closed since January 5th, so it's not just a paint job over there.
Yeah.
The other thing is also being also closed through March 6th is Under the Sea Journey of the Little Mermaid.
Yep.
So that'll be closed. It's a Small World, however, will be closed March 10th through the 13th. Just a couple days. That's probably just your usual, hose it down.
Third doll from the left gets a new dress.
By the way, somebody.
Kill it, Janine. Janine. Like, killing it. Killing it today.
She tweeted to Len, third doll from the left is killing it today. And it's a picture of the third. You have to listen to the live show. You have no idea what that joke means. All right. What else? What else we got here? Everything else. Pirates of the Caribbean was closed last month, but is reopened, so we're good on that. The phone charging kiosk and Cosmic Rays and the Space Mountain gift shop are closed.
That's it. Cancel my trip.
No, they're still open. They're still open. Actually, that's not true.
Oh, I have it here as permanently closed. Huh. Wow.
No. Those are the only things that are actually still open.
Nice. Flame Tree Barbecue will be closed the entire month. It's been closed since January and reopened next month. So, and also Creature Comforts, sorry to say, will be closed the entire month as well. I don't know where that is.
Creature Comforts is in it's by Africa in Old Kingdom.
See, if we were doing this show with video, I'd be giving you that blank stare right now.
We could sense it. You doing it anyway?
Otherwise. But actually, this month, there's a pretty good chance I would think you're going to be able to see in Hollywood Studios a shot straight up Hollywood Boulevard without a hat or walls around. Kind of depends if they get rid of those walls. But the hat should be completely gone. But
the hat.
There's barely anything left of the Sorcerer's Hat. But I'm not sure if they'll take the construction walls completely down or if they're going to keep them up to put something else up. So we have that. But otherwise, that's pretty much it, right, in terms of closures.
Yep.
That's right, Matt.
That sounds right.
That's right, Matt.
Any other things in March that people should be aware of if they're going?
Well, I wonder, those people who are staying at the Caribbean Beach Resort, I mean, that's going through a big refurbishment.
Yeah.
They're boardwalk, changing beds. Yeah.
Boardwalk Villas, Caribbean Beach is still continuing. There's Coronado Springs. I mean, just tons of resort inventory being taken out of, circulation.
Okay. Very good. Well, you know, we've got some time. Let's answer some of your listener emails. Of course, you can email us your questions at, questions@wdwtoday.com. And we're going to start with an email from Stephanie Taggart of Willow Spring, North Carolina. Is that near you, Len?
Sure.
Sure. I'll be traveling to the world soon for the Princess Half Marathon weekend with my sister-in-law and her. Maybe they mean 2016. I'm just saying.
Yes, that's what they totally mean. 2016.
Traveling with my sister-in-law and her mother, my cheering squad. I'm running my first Run Disney event, the Glass Slipper Challenge, 10K and half, my first half marathon, for charity with Team Up Autism Speaks. This is my 40th birthday present to myself, a girls' weekend running in Disney World.
Happy birthday.
My 8-year-old son has high functioning autism, so it's been wonderful to raise money for a great organization. I have two questions. We'll be staying at Caribbean Beach Resort, our first time at this resort for all of us, and I know that they are completing renovations. We have a reservation for a room with water or pool view. Is there a way to know which rooms have completed the renovation and to fax a request to that building?
Yeah, you can ask for a renovated room. I think they started in the upper right corner with like Martinique, Jamaica, and those, and they're working their way around.
Okay. But
if you fax in and just ask for a renovated room, a newly renovated room, that should work.
We have our ADRs and FastPass Plus reservations made. We'd like to eat at Be Our Guest for lunch one day. I'm getting mixed information on how to get into Be Our Guest for lunch. Is it still a separate FastPass for lunch, or is it a paper FastPass in the park? If it's a separate fast pass on the website, when can I book? Is it 27 days from the day of reservation?
It's they've actually switched over. They switch over tomorrow. Today, Wednesday, to a regular ADR system for breakfast and lunch.
Cool. So, good luck.
And dinner.
Alrighty. Next, we have an email from Stephen Operock.
Yes.
Not saying that right. So with gas prices dropping and airfare still a bit on the high side, myself, girlfriend and three kids, two girls, 17 and 12, and one boy, 10, we'll be driving straight through to Disney World. We'll be departing
From where?
Merrimack, New Hampshire to Orlando in late April.
Wow.
Wow. They've got
four drivers. So, you know,
it's 1500 miles. Oh, actually,
that 12 year old, you know,
yeah. 1365 miles.
Oh, is it really?
Yep.
Dude, that's twice what mine is.
Yeah. That's halfway to California.
22 hours?
25 hours on the road, Lynn.
Yeah. That's brutal. Good luck.
Because the Northeast takes forever to get out of.
Yeah. Well, along those lines, here, Mike, this is a question for you. Okay. Our plan is to leave around 6 p.m. on Friday night. I work overnight, so it's not an issue for me to drive overnight straight through. I hope to be in Disney by 5 p.m. on Saturday. Have any of you ever done this, Mike?
I do know someone who has done this, and what it does is it ruins you for about 36 hours. So, you know, you're better off. What I used to do is I used to leave at about 3:30 in the morning, and I would make it to Dillon, South Carolina. I believe it's Dillon. Yeah, I used to make it to Dillon, yeah. So I'd make it to Dillon about 7 p.m. that night.
And that's a good drive. That's a healthy drive.
Yeah, I want to say 900 miles, but I'm not sure. And then the next day, I would try to get to, I would try to get to Florida, and usually I'd make it to Jacksonville by nighttime. And it's just, you know, I could force it through, but I just, you know, I'll just stay over. And then from Jacksonville to Orlando, was it, Len, 2 hours, 2.5, maybe?
It's closer to three. It's about an hour. Yeah, from the time you get off of I-4, let's face it, to the time you get to Disney with traffic and everything, that's an hour. So you're looking at, 2.5.
Yeah, it depends upon how you go. You can go through Jacksonville, but you can also go, was it 295
around? 295 around, yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, and I would definitely do that if you're, anytime you're going during the morning or during the evening. So your GPS will almost certainly route you around.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I would really strongly recommend you do it, plan on a 2 to 3 day drive, because that first drive will take a lot out of you. And you know, I know a lot of people like to say, well, I'll just drive at night. Well, you know, driving at night is more tiring than driving during the day. So.
Cause you have to be even more alert, right? Yeah. I mean, then your eyes are working harder. It's mentally exhausting.
Yeah. They had said though about driving through the night that, you know, they work out overnight. So I guess it's less of an issue.
Yeah. You work at night, but it's different when, I mean, generally speaking, unless you've got a really interesting job, the lives of your family and yourself don't depend on you being that alert.
Exactly.
It's different. I'm telling you, driving is different, man. And
you can't go as fast either.
Yeah. You can't take chances. So, I mean, break it up. So, you know, if you leave it, what are they leaving? 5 or 6?
3:30. No.
Yeah. Sorry.
3 in the morning.
They're leaving at 6 p.m. on Friday night.
And he hopes to be in Disney by 5 the next night?
Yeah, 5 p.m. the next 24 hours, essentially.
That's driving straight through.
Yeah.
And he's going to go through Hartford, Connecticut. And
well, they had a question here about, Stephen wants to know, any tips I should know about going through New York City? I think I will miss the traffic, but not sure. Any help would be greatly appreciated.
I would go to the west of New York City. I would go over I used to go over the Tappan Zee Bridge and go.
Yeah, the Tappan Zee, yeah.
Hey.
Go that way.
It's my area.
I think, though, by the time they get from Merrimack, New Hampshire, you know the scope, but how long is it if you go straight to the city? Forget the Tappan Zee for a second. To get to Manhattan, how many hours is it?
I'm guessing if you're lucky, I'm going to say 5.
Yeah.
5 on that.
So by that
I'll tell
point,
you why, Matt, because it's Friday night and it's 6 o'clock.
But by 5 hours, that'll be 11 o'clock. There's going to be no traffic to go over the George Washington.
Did I ever say that?
I don't know.
That Cross Bronx Expressway is a disaster.
You have to have your 17 or 12 year old go on Google Maps when you get closer and map it out.
No, I'm serious. The Waze app, Waze.
Actually, Google uses Waze in their algorithm now.
Yeah, they bought Waze. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's the best. That's my favorite app.
But Waze is a good app as well. That's good for finding cops also. So
yes, it is.
But, I'm just, you know, do that kind of be, I would say by 11 o'clock, I think you'll be fine. That'll save yourself about 30 minutes or so.
I don't know. I've been stuck in that Cross Bronx on Saturday morning.
But Waze will route you around the traffic too.
Right. So, there's not many ways to do that. Waze.
I'm not sure if you really save time by going straight through. I mean, I did two different routes and two different trips
over 2 days.
And I went around. I went around DC. I went around New York City. I went around
Philly,
DC.
Yep.
And I went around Philly. I went around DC. I went around Jacksonville. Okay. And I added something like 75 to 125 miles to my trip. But from the first time I drove down, but it was less stressful, and I got there at the same amount of time.
That's the thing. That's why I like setting the GPS to back roads to using no highways, because to go through, like, if you're on 95 in North Carolina and South Carolina, the roads are terrible. It's bumper to bumper, especially South Carolina, because it's only two lanes on 95 and you are bumper to bumper with trucks going 55 miles an hour because there's so much congestion they can't do 70. And it is just so stressful. I like to take the back roads where you can do 70 miles an hour and there's no one around you. Yeah, I mean, it adds half an hour to your trip, right?
There's another route called the Skyline. I forget what it's called, the Skyline route, where you're more inland and you're going over mountains. But, I mean, that was beautiful. And there was a little bit of traffic, but so much easier, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God, do that.
You have to deal with the white knuckle 95.
But take 2 days. Don't try and drive all the way through. You'll just be shot for the whole next day. No matter what you do, whether you drive straight through or whether you take, you know, 2 days, you're not going to be ready to go till late Sunday anyway. I mean,
go ahead, Lynn. Yeah, again.
No, that's it. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't risk it.
I remember we had the live show, Michael, who did Around the World, and remember how his family was dead for 2 days. Yeah.
Right. And he said that. He said it was awful.
Yeah, terrible. Yeah. So I just, you know, I would break it up, you know, have a couple of nice meals. You know, everyone's going to be stressed if you're trying to push all the way through. No one's going to be happy. Just stop for the night, you know, a couple of times and get there Sunday, and then you'll be fine. Make it an adventure. Try and find a hotel with those, the Magic Fingers vibrating beds. Those things were fantastic.
Loud air conditioners.
Next, we have an email from Alicia from Minneapolis. Over the past many years, I've bought multiple Walt Disney World tickets to stock up before the annual price increase. I bought all these tickets before the switch to RFID and the implementation of FastPass Plus, so none of them are RFID. I've realized that with these tickets, I won't be able to link them to my Disney Experience account until I convert them to RFID, which means that I won't be able to make FastPass Plus reservations in advance of my next trip. I always stay offsite when I visit Disney World. For my next trip, am I just stuck waiting until I get to Disney World to make FastPass Plus reservations, or are there options for getting these tickets either linked as is to my Disney Experience or getting them converted somehow? If I know someone's going to go to Orlando, could they convert them for me, or would I have to be there in person and have the ticket in my name? I may get desperate and ask if I can send my tickets to you guys to convert them for me, trusting that such honorable people would send the RFID tickets back to me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's us. I would call Disney the, there's a, if you Google, Disney, My Disney Experience IT support, there's a phone number you can call and they might be able to help you out with that. That would be literally the first thing I do. Anyway, yeah, call Disney IT. If there's a number on the back and they can read it, then they might be able to link it for you, or they'll tell you what you need to do to convert it.
Next, we have an email from Lee Wallington. Love the show. Thanks for all the advice and entertainment. My question, I'm visiting the world in May of this year. The last time we visited was May 2013. What changes will we see open at Disney Springs?
Ooh. When are they?
May.
2013 to May. Parking garage.
That road looks different. That road looks hugely different.
The parking garage is open. Baby Cakes is back. It's Aaron McKinnon's Bakery.
I'm back.
Now there's some food kiosks and food trucks.
Yeah. Starbucks.
Starbucks. Yeah, that's about it. Oh, the new Causeway, the Marketplace Causeway that links the Rainforest Cafe to over by the Lego store is open now. So it's an easier walk and it's a prettier walk too.
I don't know when Fit to Run opens, but that might
be. It's been open for a while, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so food trucks, walkways, better pedestrian walkways. It's starting to pretty up, but they've still got another year, I think, until everything's ready again.
Cool. Next email from James from Charlottesville, Virginia. Longtime listener here. Thanks for keeping us all informed and entertained. I'm heading to the world in mid-April after Easter, thankfully, staying at Saratoga Springs for a week. In a twist, though, this will be my first solo trip. To give you some perspective, I'm in my early 30s, a current annual pass holder, and have been to the world dozens of times. The family bought into DVC very early on. I plan on looking through your archives for some basic touring tips, but I'm curious for some outside-the-box ideas of experiences that a longtime fan might enjoy. At worst, I figure I can spend some time delving into my photography hobby.
Oh, that's an idea. Scope has done this Hidden Treasures, a series of Hidden Treasures columns. We did one for our book one time, but things like the well, it's gone now, but the mural on the Main Street Theater. Scoop, I get a couple other ones. The props at Indiana Jones to play with, the props outside.
Oh,
like there's
yeah.
a rope that
yeah.
there's a rope that says, don't pull this rope. Yep. And if you pull the rope, something funny happens.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. What were the other things? One of them might have been the Tom Sawyer paintbrush.
Gone.
Yeah. What else?
Yeah.
Dunzo.
Boy, cut me off guard.
Yeah, but there's
the hidden Mickey when you get off when you went into the AFI American Film Institute, although that's gone, the big hidden Mickey.
Yeah. Pretty much the whole studio is closed.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
But look for stuff like that. You can do hidden Mickeys. There's I really like the nature walking paths at the Animal Kingdom, the stuff that's behind the Tree of Life.
Yep.
Oh, there's new animals at the Tree of Life too. There's new carvings. What else? I really like the Pink Island Forest Exploration Trail. The Maharaja Jungle Trek, also very good.
Center Street, Lynn? The sounds in Center Street. You know, the singing, the at the end of the street. Is it Center Street still?
Center Street.
On the right, as you're walking up Main Street, USA, if you go to the very end.
Right. Yeah, the sounds. Yeah. Sorry, on the right-hand side.
Singing,
the
yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting as well. Yeah, so you can stop and listen to those noises too. Yeah, a lot of fun stuff.
Cool. All right, time for our last email of the day, and that means, again, Mr. Newell, three emails to choose from. One gets read today. The other two go back to the email queue to be answered later. Ready, Mike?
Yes, sir.
Is a quarter a mile really a hike? One in a billion mix-up? Best beachy resort on property?
Beach Club.
That's also Caribbean Beach.
Probably Grand Floridian.
Wow. Well, we just answered that question, so.
There they go. Okay, so now we're done. Hey, folks.
Let's go with the first one.
First one was, is a quarter mile really a hike? Last email today is from Neil B. in Richardson. I'm thinking about staying at the Contemporary Resort for my next visit. I'm not sure the main building fits in my budget, but the Garden Wing does. Based on message boards, I've read quite a few. It's a hike type comments. However, looking through
It's a hike. It's like 200 yards.
Yeah. Looking at Google Earth, it only seems as if it's about a fifth of a mile from the furthest room at the Garden Wing to the main lobby. That's about the same distance from the Magic Kingdom Hub to Space Mountain, or Spaceship Earth to Imagination, or from Hollywood Studios' entrance to Toy Story Midway Mania.
You know, it feels like it's a lot when you're carrying luggage or carrying kids. Other than that, it's no big deal.
You know what it is? It's this perception thing, right? It's like you're walking back, and it's that old real estate gag. Like, you know, if you lived here, you'd be home by now.
Yeah.
And people see, you know, the tower, like, ugh, I had to walk an extra, look,
a thousand feet. Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, I'm probably one of those people that'd be saying that. Like, ugh, I wish I was staying here. It's like,
not me. I'd be thinking every step I'm taking is 10 cents that I'm saving. Yeah. that's what I'd be thinking right there. Go Fitbit.
Yeah. So I guess what he's asking is, what are our thoughts on staying in the Garden Wing and dealing with the extra walk?
I've stayed there. Actually, there's some really lovely rooms at the Garden Wing. If you go into touringplans.com, go to the Contemporary page on our hotels page and look at the hotel room views. Mm-hmm. At the very end of the garden view, first floor rooms, some of them are really gorgeous and overlook the lake, Bay Lake, and it's really fantastic views. You won't go wrong.
See, my question, I've always said this, and I've always thought this, in fact, that if you're going to stay at the Contemporary and you're not staying in the Tower or Bay Lake Tower, I should probably add that as well, there's no point. Like, I just never saw the appeal of the Garden Wing. It's like staying in, like, it's like, oh, you're in the Garden Wing.
We can walk to the Magic Kingdom.
Well, that's true. I just think if that was the case, I'd rather stay at, you know, Polynesian or Grand Floridian.
For a lot more money.
Less expensive, yeah, as I say.
Okay, well. It's up to you, but yeah, I mean, the walk is not as bad as
and the rooms are really nice. And I mean, it's really really nice decor. Some of the rooms in the Garden View actually have windows on two sides of the room because of the way the building is shaped.
Oh,
and those get a lot of light in. Yeah, I've stayed in one. They're really really nice rooms.
So they're the cheapest of the Magic Kingdom resorts.
Yes,
that's a bargain right there.
Well, unless you consider Wilderness Lodge a Magic Kingdom resort, which I don't.
You can't walk there though. So
no, you can't.
Yeah.
Walk.
Cool, man. Very good stuff. Well, of course, if you want to send us your emails, your questions, comments, thoughts on Walt Disney World, we want to hear about them. We love reading emails on this show. So, of course, email us questions@wwtoday.com.
Go back to the party, Matt.
Yep. Have fun.
All right.
Also joining us, also sponsoring, of course, today's episode is MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. And I'll tell you, you know, when you book your trip with MEI and Mouse Travel, you're going to get someone who specializes in Walt Disney, someone who really, 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 really knows Walt Disney World, really like the back of their hand. And these are experts, and they can help you plan every aspect of it. Because after all, when you're looking at planning the trip, there's a lot of money you're investing. Why not make sure you're working with an expert who's going to cost you nothing? You get all this expertise for absolutely nothing extra. Disney pays them, not you. Check them out right now at mousefantravel.com. Also joining us on today's show is All-Star Vacation Homes. And you know what? If you were going to throw a 94th birthday party for 8 Pagoda, it would be awesome to throw one at All-Star Vacation Homes because there's so much space, so many great amenities. Abe would walk in and feel like a Hollywood A-lister again. Sorry. It would be such a great experience because of all the – it's amazing how beautiful these houses are. And you stay there and you're going to be like, wow. This is living right here. You really got to check them out right now. AllStarVacationHomes.com. And we're also being sponsored by TouringPlans.com. And when you get to Walt Disney World, the last thing you want to do is wait in line. Maybe you just drove 24 hours from Merrimack, New Hampshire, didn't listen to anything Scopa said. Well, guess what? You don't want to go now wait in line. You want to go ride those attractions because for the last 24 hours, all you've been thinking is, I'm almost there. I'm almost there. If I drive a little faster, I'm almost there. Now you're there, and you don't want to wait in those long, 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 long lines. They're all over the place. But touringplans.com will get you around those long lines. So that way, when you get to Walt Disney World, finally, you'll be able to experience all your family's favorite rides and attractions without really the long wait. Check them out right now at touringplans.com. For Lantesta, Mike Scopa, and Mike Newell, I'm Matt Hotchberg. We'll see you on
Stupid Judy, Stupid Energy.
This has been a production of Mouse World Radio.